This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another mass shooting. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Thursday, April 1st. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Four people are dead and two others are wounded after a gunman opened fire at an office building in Orange, California.
Newly released video shows a former Minneapolis police officer defending his actions as he stands trial for murdering George Floyd.
President Biden has formally introduced a massive infrastructure spending plan. We'll have details, plus reaction and analysis.
And baseball isn't mandating the COVID vaccine, but it is certainly providing incentives.
So what baseball has now done instead is say, all right, we're not going to force you to get the shot, but if you get it, here's what we can give you, a much better life. What baseball has essentially said is, if you get the shot, you will no longer be subject to many of the sort of restrictive COVID protocols.
Jared Diamond at the Wall Street Journal on the promise of normalcy for baseball players as the season begins today. There's been another mass shooting, this one in Southern California. Police say four people were killed, including a child, before police in the city of Orange wounded the gunman and took him into custody. Orange Police Department Lieutenant Jennifer Amat said officers arrived on the scene of an office building at about 5:30 p.m. local time as shots were being fired yesterday. The Orange County Register reported that the suspect was transported to a hospital for treatment of gunshot wounds. Authorities offered no explanation as to a possible motive. Amanda Foran lives nearby and initially thought the gunshots were a car backfiring.
I was just in my room just hanging out, and all of a sudden I heard about 5 to 7 gunshots go off, and then waited a couple minutes, and then the police came, and then I heard a few more gunshots go off, and then there was like a lot quickly.
This marks the third deadly mass shooting in the U.S. in less than a month, following incidents in Atlanta and Boulder, Colorado. President Biden has introduced a $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan that would be paid for over 15 years by raising the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28% and increasing taxes on companies' foreign earnings.
Farmer and teacher paying 22%. Amazon and 90 other major corporations paying zero in federal taxes. I'm going to put an end to that.
Among other things, Mr. Biden's proposal includes $621 billion to modernize transportation infrastructure, $400 billion to help care for the aging and those with disabilities. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
We've reached a critical point here, and I hope we're not beginning to engage in the habit of any time we want to do something, call it a national emergency and run up the national debt.
The measure is the first of a two-part economic plan. Mr. Biden hopes to move through Congress in coming months. A second plan focused on child care, health care, and education will be released later in April. A deeper dive now on the infrastructure plan. Joey Garrison, White House correspondent at USA Today, says the administration is billing the proposal, called the American Jobs Plan, as a domestic investment not seen in the U.S. since the construction of the interstate highways in the 1950s and the space race a decade later. Joey, give us more on what's in it.
I mean, this is a sweeping bill that really touches on a lot more than just infrastructure. The White House is kind of looking at it in four very broad buckets. It's a $2 trillion package, as you said. $621 billion would go towards transportation infrastructure, would include everything from repairing bridges, highways, roads, streets, as well as, increased funding for public transit, as well as a shift towards embracing electric vehicles with a network of 500,000 new electric vehicle stations across the country. This bucket of money also includes funding for ports, coastal ports, as well as inland waterways, ferries, those sorts of things. So that's the transportation budget. Then there's a money that would be what they call kind of quality of life at home, the $111 billion for water infrastructure, including replacing all lead pipes. There'd be over $213 billion to create 2 million affordable housing units, and as well as retrofitting commercial properties. Money for rebuilding public schools and VA hospitals. Now, a third bucket would be money for what they call the caregiving economy. $400 billion would go to this. These are caregivers who provide for the elderly and disabled. They want to increase their pay and make this a larger workforce to get rid of demand for these services. And finally, there would be billions, $180 billion exactly, for research and development, specifically on climate change and new technologies, as well as $300 billion for manufacturing to increase the supply chain, improve the supply chain on critical goods. So I gave you a whole lot there.
Yeah.
As you can see, it's a wide reaching bill that would really expand the role of the federal government to address what the White House sees are major concerns, especially during a pandemic.
Right. All right. So raising taxes would be part of the way to pay for it. Explain what could happen there.
Yeah, I mean, the White House said that they would have a plan to pay for all these things, and what they proposed is an increase on the corporate tax rate to 28%. They would also overhaul how the U.S. taxes multinational companies by increasing the minimum tax on U.S. corporations to 21%. So, a lot, they're stressing the point that they're really resetting the tax rate to what it was before President Trump, passed his 2017 tax cuts. So, obviously, this is going to be very controversial. The Republicans have already balked at the idea of increasing taxes, and so this is going to be, I think a lot of people will support some of the items in this proposal, but the it gets kind of touchy. The sticky part is the tax plan to pay for it.
I'm speaking with Joey Garrison, White House correspondent at USA Today. He's written a piece about President Biden's proposed $2 trillion infrastructure plan. So politically speaking, you referenced some Republican opposition. Can it pass?
Well, I mean, I think clearly, and they haven't said this for sure, but I think they're going to try to pass it through budget reconciliation, just like Biden did the American Rescue Plan COVID relief bill that he passed earlier this month. Doing that would mean, in the Senate, which is evenly split, you would not need the filibuster-proof 60 votes. You could pass it with a simple majority. However, Biden will have to keep all his Democrat senators on board. The question again, like it does on so many legislative debates, are going to be looking at some of those more moderate Republicans like a Susan Collins in Maine and Murkowski in Alaska, whether they will support this type of thing.
Thanks, Joey. Joey Garrison, White House correspondent at USA Today. Coming up next, newly released video in the George Floyd case. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Ask Dell. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. The former Minneapolis police officer charged with the death of George Floyd 10 months ago defended his actions to a bystander. This was part of newly released video by prosecutors in the trial of Derek Chauvin. A witness at the scene told Mr. Chauvin he didn't respect what he did. Mr. Chauvin can be heard replying, quote, "We've got to control this guy because he's a sizable guy." Mr. Floyd was 6'4", 223 pounds. That witness, Charles McMillian, took the stand yesterday.
"I don't have a mama either. I understand him. My mom died June 25th.
Other new video shows Mr. Floyd in handcuffs, struggling to avoid getting into the squad car, complaining that he has claustrophobia and is unable to breathe. After the officers give up on placing him in the car, they put him on the street, leading to the final 9 minutes, 29 seconds, during which prosecutors say Mr. Chauvin held his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. Mr. Chauvin has pleaded not guilty to a series of charges tied to Mr. Floyd's death. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A child was among four people killed in a shooting at a Southern California office building that left a fifth victim and the gunman critically wounded. Orange Police Lieutenant Jennifer Amott says police arrived at the building around 5:30 p.m.
Upon arrival, the officers discovered shots that were actively being fired, and our officers did engage in an officer-involved shooting.
Police provided no details on the victims other than to say one was a child and a woman was critically wounded. It was the nation's third mass shooting in just over 2 weeks.
Number two.
President Biden has outlined a $2.3 trillion plan to re-engineer the nation's infrastructure in what he billed as a once-in-a-generation investment in America. They would undo his predecessor's signature legislative achievement, giant tax cuts for corporations, in the process.
We're establishing a global minimum tax for U.S. corporations of 21%. We're going to level the international playing field. That alone will raise $1 trillion over 15 years.
White House officials say the spending would generate jobs as the country shifts away from fossil fuels and combats the perils of climate change. It's also an effort to compete with technology and public investments made by China.
Number three.
The Pentagon has swept away Trump-era policies that largely ban transgender people from serving in the military, issuing new rules that offer them wider access to medical care and assistance with gender transition. The new regulations allow transgender people who meet military standards to enlist and serve openly in their self-identified gender. A dosage mix-up at a Baltimore production facility, which ruined about 15 million doses of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine, has prompted the FDA to delay shipments. Employees at production facility Emergent BioSolutions mixed up two vaccine dosages. J&J says it still expects to deliver 1 billion doses by the end of the year. Well, if you sat at home and ordered stuff online for the past year, you already know this. It was a banner year for cardboard boxes. U.S. producers churned out nearly 407 billion square feet of corrugated product, from dot-com delivery boxes to watermelon crates. The demand prompted box producers to raise prices to new highs in the fall and again recently, meaning hikes will likely get passed on to you.
Is it weird that I find it therapeutic to tie the boxes together for recycling day?
Oh, I hate doing that. You can come to my house.
I like the twine and get the scissors out.
Oh, I hate that. It's
therapeutic. Sports leagues playing through the pandemic are settling on a strategy for vaccinating their employees. They won't mandate shots, but they will promise a much better life for teams on which most people get them. Jared Diamond, sports writer at the Wall Street Journal, has a look at what Major League Baseball and the NBA have developed. Jared, take us through it.
So Major League Baseball, like many sports, like really many companies, has been reluctant to mandate vaccine usage. They've strongly encouraged it, but haven't wanted to mandate it. So what baseball has now done instead is say, all right, we're not going to force you to get the shot, but if you get it, here's what we can give you. A much better life. What baseball has essentially said is, if you get the shot, you will no longer be subject to many of the sort of restrictive COVID protocols that have sort of run baseball players' lives for the last year or so. And they're hoping that by dangling that carrot, that players who might have been reluctant to get the shot now go, well, I may as well do it because I won't be sort of subject to all these rules anymore if I just go ahead and get vaccinated.
Teammate peer pressure, I guess, might come into play.
No doubt about it, especially because part of these regulations that baseball has created is that if 85% of your team is vaccinated, then the entire team suddenly is no longer subject to a lot of rules. So there actually is a real incentive for these entire teams sort of go and get vaccinated together. So I think we're going to see now how much of an impact it has. Clearly, there's some vaccine hesitancy among baseball players and professional athletes, and baseball is hoping that these rules sort of will curb that to some extent.
Yeah. So what kind of rules would be loosened if a team were to achieve 85% vaccination?
Well, they would no longer have to wear masks in the dugout and bullpen, for example. Their players would be allowed to eat in restaurants, indoors and outdoors on the road. They'd be allowed to have their families travel with them on the road. They'd be allowed to eat on planes again and gather and sit together on planes and go to each other's hotel rooms again. Basically, they'd essentially be allowed to go back to something resembling normalcy if enough of them get vaccinated.
We're speaking with Jared Diamond, national baseball writer at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called MLB and NBA Offer Players an Incentive to Get Vaccinated. And that incentive is normalcy. How about, could one team seemingly have an advantage over another team?
No, I mean, look, no doubt about it. Like, it does become a competitive issue at some point, right? Because if there are teams that are more reluctant to get vaccinated and don't get vaccinated, well, guess what? That team is now more liable to lose its players for a bunch of time and to be sort of out for a while, like we saw last year with teams like the Marlins and Cardinals who were out for like weeks because of big outbreaks on the team. There's no doubt about it that teams that have higher vaccine acceptance are less likely to have those sort of the obstacles to their season. So from a competitive standpoint, it no doubt behooves teams to go get vaccinated.
Jared Diamond, sports writer at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, April 1. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. 4 people dead in a mass shooting in Orange, California. President Biden unveils an infrastructure plan. Day 4 of the Derek Chauvin trial today. Freeze warnings in effect across portions of the Midwest and South through tomorrow. Watch for April Fool's stunts today. For example, Volkswagen is not changing its name to Volkswagen in a nod to electric cars. All 30 Major League Baseball teams play on opening day today for the first time since 1968, and parents relate to a video of a mama bear. That story in about 20 minutes. Republicans are up in arms over the possibility that businesses and local governments may require vaccine passports for people to get access to certain activities, buildings, or events. It's a story by Rebecca Klar, tech reporter at The Hill. Rebecca, explain the potential passport.
It's basically, some sort of certificate or pass that would show if you've been vaccinated. And New York, I think, is the first state to roll out the virtual one. And it's basically you can load in your information to verify that you've been vaccinated or, in this case, also have a negative COVID test, and then get a QR code to scan that going into events, sort of like how a virtual boarding pass works on your smartphone.
Wow. Did anybody say that's somewhat an invasion of privacy?
There's been some concerns where Republicans are raising this as an invasion of privacy, but supporters of it, say that actually gives a lot less of your information. So as opposed to bringing the card that you get after you get vaccinated, which has more personal information on it, this way you can just verify that with the state, and then if you're going in somewhere where you need to verify that you've been vaccinated or have a negative test, all that'll come up is your name and that the state okays you for that.
Wow. So it'd be, in this case, it's something you have on your phone, right? It's a QR code. In other cases, mm-hmm. would it be an actual physical document or something else on your phone?
So the way I think it's working for most places that are working with IBM or looking into doing this virtually, it would work that you would have a QR code. So once you verify that information, you would just scan it. But obviously, if people, maybe don't have access to that technology, places may, ask them for a physical document that, shows a negative test or that they've been vaccinated once that's more widely available.
Yeah. So who could wind up asking for one? You mentioned events. That could be like a concert. Like where else?
Right. So, for example, New York has started doing this to allow fans back in to see sporting events. So that's where they piloted this at first. So in order to get into the event, you had to show either you've been vaccinated or that you had a recent negative test. I think another example was they expanded how many people can attend weddings as long as everyone at the wedding showed that they had been vaccinated or had had a negative test at this point. I think another area where this may come into play is with air travel, especially international air travel. If countries start putting into place requirements that people are, you know, vaccinated before they come, which, you know, has been done with other vaccines and is done, you know, yellow fever, having showing a yellow card to show that you've been vaccinated. So, you know, it'll just, I think people who support these virtual passes sort of think that it'll streamline the process. So, you know, this is required for international air travel. Just scanning a code as you would scan a virtual boarding pass could be a lot quicker than people rifling through different papers and trying to make sure they have the right ones.
I'm speaking with Rebecca Klar, tech reporter at The Hill. Her story is called Battle Rages Over Vaccine Passports. So has the Biden administration weighed in on this?
Right. So they're getting a lot of questions on this because it's getting pushed back. You know, Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has pushed back on this as well as other Republicans. And the Biden administration has said that they will release guidelines and guidance on this, but seems to not have taken fully a stance on what they're going to say about it or what that guidance may look like and hasn't really come out with a timeline for that. So that's definitely something to look for, but it seems like they may, you know, leave this largely up to local governments and business owners to decide and issue guidance, but not necessarily take control over what that process looks like.
Yeah. So nobody's saying we might need one for, say, a grocery store, I guess, right? But I don't know. What about like a mom and pop jewelry store on Main Street?
Right. I think, you know, with people who are talking about how these will be used, it seems like right now they could be more used to help industries and businesses that haven't been able to really open up even with restrictions during the pandemic.
Thanks, Rebecca. Rebecca Klar, tech reporter at The Hill. Hawaii, by the way, is working towards a vaccination passport. Local TV says it will likely be in an app. While the new passports are being developed, travelers can present vaccination cards to show their health status. Coming up next, the cocktails we search for the most while in lockdown. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's National Burrito Day, but let's put that delicious creation aside for a minute to talk about this bizarre burger story. A frustrated Wendy's customer took to social media recently to complain about how the restaurant handled her order. Kristen Chavon posted a video account of her trip through the drive-thru on TikTok, where she says she asked for extra mayo on her burger. She says the Wendy's worker kept getting her order wrong. And then when Siobhan finally got her order and unwrapped her burger, she found nothing but a bun, a monster glob of mayo, no burger, no lettuce, no tomato, just mayo. Her video went viral with over 5 million views as of this morning. In a separate video, Siobhan says she brought the sandwich back to the restaurant and was offered a free sundae for her trouble. In the comments, many people seemed to sympathize with her plight, but others were amused by the situation, joking, "You got extra mayo, what's the issue?" I mean, she did get a lot of extra mayo.
Wow. Seemed like a lot of work.
What, to put that much mayo on?
What do you mean? Just the whole thing.
Oh, like just this whole situation?
Seemed to be a fairly simple order.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how the person mixed it up. You know, the person, you know, yeah. I mean, who knows, talking through those drive-thru speakers, whatever, but they're there doing that all day long. So,
yeah.
You know, not the only person to ask for extra something or take off something or something like that.
Right. She claims the Wendy's worker kept getting her order wrong.
Which yes.
Seemed to happen multiple times. And she, I guess the customer, mm-hmm. is able to observe the burger and realize that there is no extra mayo.
Right.
I don't, was there less? Was there an extra tomato? Like what kept changing? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if she ever got a burger or like a different, I think this was the only burger she got. And of course there was no burger on it, but yeah. I think sort of the back and forth through the box was the problem that, you know, didn't hear her correctly or kept repeating it back wrong or who knows. And then she just got a big gallon of mayo in a wrapper, essentially. And when you've had that kind of experience at the drive-thru, you might need a cocktail to calm your nerves. We know that drinking was on the rise during the pandemic, and now we know what people in each state were looking for when they were looking to forget their troubles. The travel blog Upgraded Points pored over Google Trends data starting with March of last year and was able to pinpoint the most searched for cocktails in each state. From coast to coast, the most popular cocktail in the U.S. based on the number of states searching for it was the beloved mimosa, the most searched in Colorado, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, North Carolina, and Tennessee. The fizzy cocktail of champagne and orange juice was closely trailed by the pina colada and wine cooler. Some states with unique tastes included Indiana, searching for hot buttered rum, California and the Paloma, and Massachusetts taking things very literally, looking for info on the painkiller.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either. But, it sounds like a northeastern cocktail, doesn't it? You know, probably put some hair on your chest. That's my guess.
I love mimosas, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And do enjoy the mimosa.
And it is guaranteed that on Thanksgiving morning, Christmas Eve morning, and usually Christmas Day, I start the day with about 5 mimosas.
Wow.
That's,
yeah. The over-under is set at 5.
Yeah, yeah. For some reason. Those holidays are just...
Yeah.
Start the cocktails early, and it's a mimosa.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone, but I want to know how many people had to search for the mimosa to like figure out how to make it. It is pretty much the easiest cocktail to make, is it not?
So I'm
not
right.
Exactly sure why you needed that info.
Pour champagne into your glass for the count of 2.
Yeah.
Then add a splash of orange juice.
Just a splash.
13 minutes in front of the hour. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. First came the toilet paper shortages. Now come the price increases. Kimberly Clark, maker of the Cottonelle, Scott, and Viva brands, says it will hike prices on a majority of its North America consumer products businesses, including toilet paper and baby care items. In a news release, the company blamed a 5-9% rise in commodity costs for the increases, saying nearly all of the increases will be effective in late June. The company's other brands include Kleenex tissues, Kotex hygiene products, and Huggies diapers. In the early going of the pandemic, you'll recall, paper goods disappeared quickly, causing customers to scramble to buy any supplies they could find. While supplies have recovered in recent months, many stores still have limits on paper goods purchases. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
4 people, including a child, are dead after a suspect opened fire at an office building in Southern California. Details are scarce regarding the incident in Orange. Orange Police Lieutenant Jennifer Amott.
Our suspect was also transported to the hospital, where he is in critical condition.
Amott says she doesn't know if the suspect's wounds were self-inflicted or not. There was no additional information about the suspect or the victims.
Number 2.
In a third day of sometimes tense and emotional testimony, prosecutors continued to lay out their case against Derek Chauvin, the fired Minneapolis officer charged in the death of George Floyd. Bystander Charles McMillian broke down in tears on the stand as prosecutors played a police body camera video showing officers attempting to force Floyd inside a squad car.
I don't have a mama either. I just stand him. My mom died June 25th.
McMillian testified he yelled to Floyd that he can't win to encourage him to comply with officers.
Number three.
COVID-19 was the third leading cause of death in the U.S. last year, surpassing accidental deaths. The CDC says only heart disease and cancer caused more deaths. What's more, the pandemic accelerated the death rate. In 2020, about 3.3 million deaths occurred in the country, a 16% increase from 2019. COVID-19 deaths accounted for about 11% of all deaths. The Supreme Court's justices expressed significant questions about the NCAA's athlete compensation limits, but they also showed concerns that a case challenging those limits could destroy college sports as they currently exist. Their comments came during oral arguments in a case appealed by the NCAA and 11 major conference co-defendants after lower courts ruled that the association's compensation limits violate antitrust rules. A ruling is expected later this spring or early in the summer. Well, with brick-and-mortar stores and malls continuing to struggle, we've heard a lot about how empty buildings are turning into things like gyms and doctor's offices. How about a school? Students who once shopped at a Macy's in Burlington, Vermont, are now attending high school there. The former store features gleaming white tile floors and escalators whisking them to and from classes. Some Macy's features were kept, including Calvin Klein and Michael Kors signs. The library is housed in the former Macy's China department with books displayed on underlit shelves.
Wow.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool. The escalator is great. Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Parents across the country say they can relate to footage of a mama bear trying to coax her four cubs across a busy road in Connecticut. They liken the bear's struggle to get her little ones from point A to point B to life with their own kids. Monday, the Winchester Police Department posted a funny four-minute clip of a mama bear trying to get her wandering toddlers across Rowley Street, which has a posted speed limit of 40 miles an hour. The Associated Press reports that the bears had actually stopped traffic on Sunday when they fortunately had the protection of a police cruiser to block motorists. As seen in the footage, the mother bear picks up one cub with her mouth to carry it to a grassy area on the other side, only to have another cub scamper back into the road and start the struggle all over again. Police on their Facebook page wrote, "The weather's getting nicer, wildlife's coming out to play." One woman commented, "As a single mom of four boys, this really sums it up." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.